Okay, good to see everybody here. And it is good to be here. We're so happy that we have that ability to do so. The lesson is about God's grace is greater than our sins. And come on now. There we go. We sometimes ask the question, is there any sin so great that God will not forgive? And thankfully, in our day and age, the answer is no. There is no sin so great that he will not forgive. Under the Old Testament days, yes, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was a sin that could not be forgiven. Jesus himself said so. And so we need to learn what that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. Now, we also know that any unforgiven sin is going to cause us to be lost. So we have to look at that. And what if a person has many sins? Well, let's face it. How many of us have had many sins in our lives? We all have. We've all had sins that we've had in our lives. And so we recognize that. And we also know, we're thankful that God is willing to forgive any and all sin in our lives. And he has demonstrated that time and time again. This is what we call his grace. And so the grace makes it possible for us to be having our sins removed. See, one of the hindrances to the gospel is that some people feel their sins are too great. I'm such a terrible person, God would never accept me. And that's probably, they feel that way because they haven't really read the Bible and learned how God treats people. And some people might say, I'm so bad, God will not forgive me, or God will never forgive me. And all this is a deception from Satan himself. And that's what it is. And one thing we can do is look back and see that God forgives many sins and horrible sins. For this lesson, we want to look at a fellow by the name of Manasseh. Yes, he was one of the kings. And we can read about Manasseh in 2 Kings 21 and 2 Chronicles 33. And we bypass the scripture reading this morning because I am going to read chapter 21. If you want to follow along, you can. 2 Kings 21. It says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. For he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, practice witchcraft, and use divination, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he set the carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house which the Lord God said to David, and said to his son Solomon, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they did not listen, and Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Now the Lord spoke through his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I shall stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet in the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies. Because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Beside his sin with which he had made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin which he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden in his own house in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son became king in his place. Now we also have the story written there in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Alright, while most accounts between these two, and usually they're all very much identical. What is recorded in Kings is recorded in Chronicles, and they're usually identical. But in this case, talking about Manasseh, they're two different stories. And the outcome is very different in each version. Let's just go back and review real quick. Like we said, he was 12 years old when he became king. His father, Hezekiah, had been faithful to the Lord in many things, but his life had been cut short because of what he did. He did some things that God was not pleased with, and so God cut his life short. And Hezekiah showed the Babylonians all the treasures of the temple and his kingdom. Now, this is really before the Babylonians had come into any type of world power, and they saw this, and God was upset with him for showing off his wealth, showing what he had. Just basically was giving the Babylonians an idea, when they're ready, well, we can go get their gold and their silver and take their things. So as soon as Manasseh had become king, the record says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. His father did not rub off on him. His father did not, set the right example, but anyway, Manasseh decided he was going to do evil. I mean, he did. He copied the evil of the surrounding nations. He set up altars to the Baals. He made wooden symbols of worship. That's what we call the ashram, and that's usually of female deities. And he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. I mean, he bowed down to the sun, the moon, the stars, nature, and all of that. Hezekiah spent the latter years of his life cleaning up Judah and removing all the altars of the various deities. Manasseh tore that life's work apart immediately. And so then he put idols in the temple. I mean, the temple was a place where God was supposed to be worshipped, but he put idols there. You can imagine how God felt about this. He offered some of his children to the various gods by sacrificing them in the fire and offering them up on altars. In other words, taking his own child and throwing him into the fire of an altar to a Baal. I mean, that just is terrible. It's horrible. But is that any different from abortion today? Killing our children? I mean, it's no different. And if they pass that law, we won't even be able to talk about that anymore. So, notice what also. He practiced witchcraft and divination and sorcery, all the arts of the macabre and the dark side and all those things. He dealt with mediums and spiritists and fortune tellers. He angered the Lord. And the scripture said he literally provoked God to anger. Made God mad. God was upset with him. And you really can't blame him for being upset with Manasseh. And he even carved his own idol and placed it in the temple in the most holy place where the ark had resided for many years. Manasseh led the people to do more evil than those nations God had destroyed for their wickedness. And God spoke to the king and the people through the prophets, he did, but they paid no attention to what God said. Is that any different from today? People don't listen to God. They don't want to hear what God has to say. In fact, those people who would speak up for God, what do they do to them? Well, they just ignore them. And we know what happened in the Old Testament days. They killed the prophets of God. And the prophets were disregarded, and some of them were killed. In fact, anyone faithful to God was slain at his command, the command of the king, and tradition has it that the streets ran with blood like a river. And that's what the scripture said. They filled Jerusalem with the blood of the righteous ones. And you think about how horrible a person that guy must have been. And according to tradition, this is where Isaiah died by being sawn alive. We read that over there in Hebrews chapter 11 about some were sawn in two. Tradition has it that Isaiah died at the hands of Manasseh. And he was put to death along with all the others in just the most brutal, horrible ways that you can imagine. And so because of this, God caused the Assyrians to come and capture Manasseh and took him to Babylon with a nose hook. They came in, the Assyrians came in, captured him, took him off to Babylon in a nose hook, and it says, and they used bronze chains on him. And he was imprisoned there. He was distressed. He was kind of upset there, and he had nowhere to go. I mean, that's a horrible fate, but wait a minute. We remember that he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem and was buried in his own house. Okay, something not adding up here. This is why we have to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and learn what that has to say. Here's what Manasseh did. And if you can read this, chapter 33. Chapter 33 explains all the evil that he'd done. He'd set up the altars, bowed down before others. He did more evil than all the others. He caused Judah to sin. He caused people to sin before God, and he angered the Lord. And that's all similar to 1 Kings 21. But now we get to this point where he changes his ways. Here's what he did. He entreated the Lord, his God. Now, here's a person been killing everybody who is associated with God. Everyone who wanted to practice righteousness, he's just been killing them his whole reign and doing very evil things. Then what happens? He gets in a situation. He's in prison. He's in a dark place. He's without hope, really. And what does he do? He calls out to God. A lot of people do that. A lot of people call out to God when things aren't looking very good. In fact, they go along happy-go-lucky, just doing whatever they want to do. Then all of a sudden, they get in a situation, oh, I need help, God. I mean, that's what they do. They entreat the Lord. They ask him. But the scripture says he humbled himself greatly before God. And he prayed to God a most excellent prayer. We don't have that prayer recorded, but you got to think that maybe it was such an awesome prayer that it would do us good if we knew what it was. It may be one of the Psalms. I don't know. It might be, but we don't know. We're not given any indication. It certainly doesn't say here that prayer was recorded anywhere else. But it had to be a most excellent prayer to the point that God was moved by his prayer. When we humble ourselves before God and come to him in all honesty and bearing our soul to him, it touches God's heart. He pays attention. He listens. And if it touches his heart to that point, as it says here, God was moved by his prayer. But it doesn't say how, but it says Manasseh was returned to his throne in Jerusalem. All right, I'm going to start reading here, verse 10 of chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. And when he was in distress, he entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. When he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now after this, he built the outer wall on the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entrance of the fish gate, and he encircled the Ophel with it and made it very high. Then he put army commanders in all the fortified cities of Judah. He also removed the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord, as well as all the altars which he had built on the mountains of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside the city. And he set up the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and he ordered Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed in the high places, although only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, even his prayer to his God and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are among the records of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated by him, and all his sins, his unfaithfulness, and the sins and the sites on which he built high places, erected the ashram and the carved images before he humbled himself, behold, they are written in the records of the Hosea. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon, his son, became king in his place. And if we go on to read about Amon, he did wickedness, just like his father had done. So we had a good king, we had a bad king who turned into a good king, and then we had a bad king, and then, of course, Ammon's son, Josiah, was a good king, the best king of all. And so up to that point, the best king that had ever been. And then it was just shortly after that, the nation collapsed, was carried off by the Chaldeans, and they had no more kings. The next king would be Jesus Christ, the greatest king of all. But anyway, like I said, the scripture doesn't say, but he was returned to his throne in Jerusalem. So we don't know how long this process took place. We know that the travel from Babylon to Jerusalem would take about a month's journey to accomplish. So there's a couple of months, maybe 3 months, which we don't have recorded of his time away from Jerusalem. But he spent all that time there. And we don't know how long it took before he was carried off. We don't know if he'd been reigning for 40 years, 50 years, or just a couple of years, and he was carried off. But then he came back and made things right. And that's what we need to do. When we understand God's grace, how to make ourselves right with God, start over. That's all we have to do. So it says that then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And after this, he built an outer wall of the city of David and reinforced some of the other structures. And he put army commanders in all the fortified cities of Judah. In other words, to protect the nation. He removed the foreign gods and idols from the house of God. And he basically got rid of all of them, all throughout the land. He took them all out of the city, and some he just probably mashed up and destroyed. Some he burned, the wooden ones he burned. So he destroyed all the altars and places of worship that he had built, at least the worship to the Baals, And he did allow worship to God, and he recognized that. And so once again, he set up an altar to the Lord and offered sacrifices to God. And he commanded the people to obey God. And we can just assume, yes, they did. They did that. See, Manasseh was counted as the most wicked king in Judah's history. No doubt about it. Even taking his own son and burning him in the fires to Molech and to the Baals. I mean, yeah, he was very wicked. He killed many of God's people, many righteous ones. And he was the most wicked of all of them. Yeah, others, they were significantly pointed out. They did evil. They added this, they added that. They went to this route and that route. But Manasseh was no doubt the most wicked king in all of Judah's history. And Manasseh was punished by God, just like God promised would happen if one did not serve him. But Manasseh humbled himself before God. And once Manasseh started serving God, God blessed him. There's a lesson in there for us. And a lesson here for everybody we come in contact with. Because even though people have sinned and done wrong, their sin is not so great that God will not forgive. And we just need to get that message out. So no matter how evil anyone thinks they've been, all you have to do is humble yourself before God, obey God, and God is going to bless you. So we understand that. Obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, putting our trust in God, believing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and confessing Him before man, changing our ways and repenting of what we've done, and then being baptized for the remission of sins. That's where we need to be. And then live faithful the rest of our lives, and God is going to bless us. A lot of people just want to leave a lot of that stuff out. They just expect the blessings from God just because of who God is. No, God's only going to do it for those who humble themselves before God. And we have to learn that lesson. And that's why learning the lesson of Manasseh is really great and important. And it's just something we have to be aware of. And really, as the scripture says here, 2 Kings 21, it just shows all the bad stuff he did, and then he died. And doesn't really explain why he was buried in his house in Jerusalem. Doesn't explain that. But we get over to Chronicles, and we do learn that. Now, one thing that concerns me is the fact that it says here in Chronicles that even his prayer is mentioned. Well, I can't find it. I haven't found it yet. So it might be there. It may have been there at one time. And so we know that. And there was another book reference that we don't have access to today. But that doesn't change the fact what we have in the scripture is that God's grace is greater than anyone's sin. And that's a lesson we need to share with others. And that's what they need to know. So that's our lesson today. Very simple lesson. So consider those things. And we're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.